When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
On DAB Plus, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. This is Talk Wrestling on TalkSport 2.
Oh, that was the moment where the story, well, for now at least, was finally finished. Cody Rhodes becoming the WWE Champion as he was announced at the press conference later on. No more Undisputed, no more Universal, just the WWE Champion finally doing what his father was unable to do and claim the top title in WWE. This is Talk Wrestling. I'm Will Gavin, John Jackson alongside me, and we're in Philadelphia reacting to night two, and in fact the entirety of WrestleMania 40, the biggest WrestleMania of all time. We're going to be hearing on the show from Triple H his thoughts on the new era of WWE. We'll hear from the new WWE champion Cody Rhodes, as well as Damian Priest on his Money in the Bank cash-in, and from new women's champion Bayley as well. That's all coming up here on Talk Wrestling from TalkSport. Hey, listening to Talk Wrestling, I'm Gavin, John Jackson with me as well. It's Monday morning. We're back in the hotel in Philadelphia, recovering from the two-night, really three-night, wrestling bonanza and getting ourselves ready for Monday Night Raw tonight, of course. So all our conversations today will be with very much the final point of the current WWE season of WrestleMania, that so much could happen tonight at Raw. And it's just going to be... I just think tonight's going to be sensational. The last two Raws after Mania really haven't been up to the standard. I cannot wait for tonight after what's been a festival of wrestling over the weekend. And John, before we hear from the creative content officer at Triple H, just how are you feeling Monday now, reflecting on this weekend?
I'm feeling very fresh. I'd like to point out that when you say recovering from the weekend, we were working, we were in the press box, which was an experience in itself because we were quite a long way back. And still then, with the big windows open in the press box, watching that main event, I felt, I came away from it feeling like everything that we wanted, we got. It might not have been exactly what we'd hoped for on a personal level, but we weren't left disappointed really by anything. And I don't think I felt that at WrestleMania before. I think I felt that in 2018 when we were in New Orleans, I was a little bit disappointed by some parts. Obviously the main event there, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, people were booing and saying this is boring and it didn't satisfy. Last time out in LA, some great moments, still didn't quite satisfy. And this one, as they've sold it over and over again as the start of the new era, the Paul Levesque era, I actually feel that I'm really satisfied with everything, and hopefully that's what we're going to get going forward. Because one of the big criticisms of WWE in the past so many years has been that the fans don't actually get what they want, because we all get what one man wants, and we're not now getting what that one man wants because that one man is not involved anymore. And I've actually seen this morning there's apparently TKO are going to be buying up some more shares from Vince. So it really does feel like a new revolution.
Look, I reflected back on last year in LA, and I think the high points of this last 48 hours, like we'll get to Cody, and that is a huge thing in itself. I don't think from a wrestling perspective we got anything that compared to the Gunther, Sheamus, Drew triple threat from last year, or necessarily to Rhea Charlotte or the tag match from night one. Those were like five-star matches. But what we got was consistently very, very good quality. Nothing dipped below very good over the two nights. One or two matches maybe on night one, but everything kind of stayed consistent, stayed entertaining. The storylines all worked. Everything was done brilliantly. And we talked about this a little bit on night two, just after we'd had the opening match. And Drew had won the title, then had the row with Punk. Punk beats Drew up. Priest comes in and cashes in. As we were going through and going to the toilet and grabbing a drink in the press box after that match during the cool down, everyone was saying, wow, that was amazing. And we all kind of came to the same conclusion, talking to, you know, Alistair from the Metro, talking to Joe Biamonte from Sporf and all those guys. It's exactly what we expected to happen. It literally, all of us predicted that Drew was going to win, or some people had Seth winning, but either way, we'd get some Punk-related shenanigans and then a cash in. The execution was what was so key for me. It was just done perfectly, got the audience over brilliantly. And I think on reflection over the two nights, I think if I just take night two, if that was a WrestleMania on its own, I legitimately think it would be a top five WrestleMania of all time. I think when you take the two nights in totality, I still think it's top 10 all time. And I think the only night of wrestling I've enjoyed more than that at a WrestleMania was night one last year with the tag title finisher, because I was just so over with it and so emotional. But I do think that this weekend is the best WrestleMania weekend I've experienced.
Yeah, it really, really has been a knockout one. And I think it leaves us with loads of intriguing stories going forward as well. So when we go to Monday Night Raw later on, we go, okay, I'm excited to know what happens next, as opposed to previous years where we've gone, oh, so Roman Reigns won again then. So what now?
I never had an issue with Reigns winning last year.
I did in 2018.
But I think it was the right story to tell now. Let's hear from the Chief Creative Officer, Triple H, speaking at the press conference afterwards and discussing this new era.
I keep hearing it. Paul Heyman started, well, he didn't start it, I suppose, but Paul Heyman made a big deal out of it on Friday night. The new era, you know, talked about it being my era, all that. It's not my era. It's our era. When I say our, I mean everybody in WWE, the people that endured, the people that hung in there, the people that trusted, the people that over the last year, whatever it's been, gave their sweat and tears to get to where we are, because somewhere along the way, they trusted a process that led them to remembering how much fun this is, how much of a privilege it is for us to be able to do it, how great this can be. We all started kind of in a similar place where we just thought this was the greatest form of entertainment in the world, and we wanted to do it and work our asses off at it and make fans all around the world, or make a product that they could all enjoy and that they could love again. And so it's, while people are throwing my name at the top of it, it's their era every bit as much as mine. I can't do this without all of them. I need them to do it. And two of the people at the very tippity top of that, one is new here, but has just been, no pun intended, a game changer, Lee Fitting. From a production standpoint, from a, what we're doing, from the look, the feel, all of it, you see changes happening every week on TV, and there's going to be more of them, but you see them, and I see people excited by them and just loving the changes that are made. But I'm telling you, there's so much more to come. Like, we made a conscious decision together to sort of, Lee, Nick, and myself, to slowly roll out some of those changes over time. There's a lot more coming. But when I tell you Lee Fitting, man, I love working with him. He has a passion for this just like we do. He might be new here, but man, he's all in. And for me, he's the kind of guy that I want to go to work for. I want to do stuff to make his job easier, and I want to collaborate with him, and I want to make things better with him. So I can't say enough good stuff about him. A lot of the change that you see and a lot of the success that you're seeing comes from Lee Fitting. And then Nick Khan. I can't even begin to describe the change that he's made here. And as if you wanted to boil it all down to a spear tip, it should be, he should be mentioned in the top of that, it's his era too, because there's nobody right now. I don't even know how to say it. It's such an amazing partnership with a guy that I have so much respect for that, man, it just clicks. And he's the biggest difference maker I've ever seen. And together, I can promise people, with everything else I just mentioned, with Lee, but with Nick, at the top of it, there's no ceiling on this. We're going to take it places it's never been before. So I just want to thank those guys and say, when they say whatever era they want to call it, know that's for you just as much as it is for me.
Triple H speaking at the post WrestleMania 40 press conference. I loved that he gave the shout out in particular at the end of that to Lee Fitting, the former ESPN producer, has come in. And I'm very excited for the fact that he said he's come in with a whole barrel of ideas. We've slowly begun to integrate them in, but there's a lot more to come. Because from a look and a production perspective, WWE is as fresh and as exciting as it's been for 20 years at this point. The idea that there's more of that to come, mwah, chef's kiss, give it all to me. We're going to have a bit of a breakdown of night one and night two coming up later in the show, but up next we do want to hear in full from an emotional Cody Rhodes after finally finishing the story. That's coming up next here on Talk Wrestling.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Even just hearing the music now, taking me back to last night, I just absolutely made up for Cody Rhodes, a brilliant post-match celebration. And afterwards, he went to the press conference, spoke with the assembled media. It's fair to say he was pretty emotional about the whole thing, but I just wanted to bring this to you almost in full because it's so worth a listen. So here is new WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, here on Talk Wrestling.
So, WrestleMania 40 press conference. What do you guys want to talk about?
On that note, our first question, we will head to right here, second row.
Hey, Cody, congratulations. Mike Hoppinger from ESPN.
Thank you.
You know, finished the story, but back in 1981, when your father, Dusty Rhodes, won his first title, the locker room kind of emptied out, right, when he defeated Ric Flair. And then tonight, you kind of enjoyed the same thing. Was that a purposeful callback to that moment?
If it was, maybe it wasn't purposeful in planning. Maybe it was just, I don't know, kismet, destiny. That's one of those moments. A lot of people had asked me, what's it going to feel like if you can beat the Tribal Chief, if you can beat Roman Reigns? And I really was honest when I said, I don't know. I don't know. I've never been in the end zone before. You know, I've been 1B. I've main evented shows. I've been able to be in the main event. But there's a difference between being in the main event and being the main event. Roman Reigns, obviously, he and I are not good friends, but that's the greatest championship reign in sports and entertainment. And as much as I don't agree with his style and the way he went about being a champion, perhaps, I still hope I can be half the champion that he was for WWE as a leader, as the quarterback. In the moment, I was so happy just to see my friends. You don't have a lot of friends in wrestling, you know, and then you do and they turn on you. You know, Kevin Owens is a huge part of my journey. I wouldn't have been able to meet the guys I met that I needed to meet and do the things that we would do without him. Sammy was a huge part of my journey last year with the kind of budding rivalry between us heading towards, you know, WrestleMania and him having that opportunity at Elimination Chamber to see him. I didn't think I would see Randy just because he'd probably get on his bus. You know, he's Randy. So to have the guy who took me under his wing and I got to watch be a champion, that was amazing. I drove Cena around for almost 2 years, learned everything I possibly could from him, but didn't know I was learning because we were just having such a good time. And there's nobody who carried WWE, you know, until Roman, like John Cena, and for him to be out there, my family, LA Knight, just a lot of victims of the bloodline in a sense. There was that, I think more than anything, just circling back to what you asked, I think that was just the joy. You know, there's a respect for Roman and the bloodline, no doubt, but nothing is bigger than the company, than the industry itself. And this was a win for the people, and certainly a win for me. Thank you for your question.
Cody, John Alba, writing for your hometown paper, the Marietta Daily Journal.
Oh, my gosh.
They said you'd say and do anything for them, just for the record.
Well, so Andy McAlpine was the dude's name. And I was 16 the first time he wrote an article about me. He spelled my last name with two L's. And I was still blown away that I got to be in the paper. And then during that amateur wrestling run I had, they just, Marietta Daily Journal was like a propaganda rag for me. They were just, they were all about me. So yes, anything.
Well, I know you said that you grew sick of the whole finish the story tagline over the year, but story goes so much further than creative. Fans have been following your journey for the past 20 years through your father, through your brother, through AEW, around the globe. What do you feel has resonated with people most about your journey, and how has that led to them forming that authentic connection with you?
I think sometimes it feels like it's a father-son story, which is something that, you know, father-daughter, father-son, that a lot of people can see and relate to. But then if I'm truly being honest, I think it's a story of, as much as I had the legacy and I had the last name, I wasn't born with all the tools. You know, my brother's 6'4". You know how pissed off I was when I stopped growing. My dad and my sister just had all this charisma, and I think people resonate that works for them. You know, like, you can make it to the main event, you can make it to being the main event. I always wanted to be a winning franchise, if that makes any sense. And at my age and where I'm at in my career, I know that's not been the story. But I'm very proud of what the story has become. And you asked, you know, why it resonates. It's the only answer I really know. Because it's real. I wanted to be this because at first he wasn't, and I thought he should have been. And then when he passed away, I failed. You know, I didn't hand it to him. But it became about, I said this earlier, it was in the, you know, the hype packages and stuff was playing. The story was beyond me at that point, and I still felt the need to finish it. I've been saying all week, I think I said it on First Take too, that even if I didn't believe, people believed. So I had to do it. I know this isn't what you asked at all, but something that I wanted to share. I came to the back and Bruce Pritchard and Triple H and Nick Khan handed me this, which is the same watch that my dad had, that he pawned so that I could go to acting school. So the level of investment and responsibility that the company just put in my hands, I hope I can pay it back, pay it forward 100 times over. If I learned anything from my dad, when it's a good night, you don't want it to end. So with that thought, one more question.
Alistair McGeorge from the Metro, just over here in the UK. Hey. Well, I'm here in Philadelphia, not the UK. Anyway, you've just mentioned your dad, and you said not being able to hand that title to him. What would you say to him with him looking down on you now?
That's a great question. If I'm being honest, I think I'd want to say to him that I hope I lived up to your name. And thank you for that name. And then I would say, sorry about the tattoo. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys. Happy WrestleMania.
Cody Rhodes speaking there at the press conference. I mean, it just in good voice, in good fun. Alistair got me with that last question about his dad. Genuine bit of emotion from me watching that back. So, look, I can't wait to see where the story goes next with Cody. Gunther is, I hope and believe, likely to be that first person we'll face him. Obviously, we've got France Backlash coming up, and then the King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia was announced at the show last night. So much to get excited about. And what we'll do here on Talk Wrestling, we've still got to hear from Bayley. We've still got to hear from Damian Priest, two new champions in their own rights. And we'll break down night one and night two here on Talk Wrestling from TalkSport 2.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to Talk Wrestling. This is Talk Sport 2. I'm Will Gavin, John Jackson alongside me. And we've heard from Cody Rhodes. We've given our overall thoughts of WrestleMania. But let's talk night one, night two. First of all, from a night one perspective, opening the show, Rhea and Becky. Becky with the 102-degree fever, with the strep throat. I thought looked the best she has in a match for a long time, despite that illness. I've really enjoyed this recent run of Becks. It brought me back to the kind of the man level. I think she'll go away for a while after this now. Her contract's up soon, but she was brilliant. But Rhea is the real superstar, right?
Yeah, I think we're all happy that Rhea is still the champion, and there's still many, many stories to tell. I think that for the last 2 years, the women's title match has been one of the best matches. I mean, it's hard to look past the main events this year and last year because of what the build-up was and just how well they've told these stories. But yeah, Rhea Ripley now has had two excellent WrestleMania matches in 2 years and still seems fresh, and we all still seem invested in her. She's obviously, a heel, but we're all still, you know, quietly cheering for her, which is, it just means that when she does turn face at some point, she's going to be even more of a superstar, which I can't wait to see. I think the Judgment Day is an interesting situation because we're all thinking, oh, that's going to be broken up fairly soon. But I feel like with two champions now, I know they haven't got the tag titles, but I feel like there's still more to be done with the Judgment Day, which is good.
I think we're in for some Finn Priest shenanigans, infighting. There's the Dom stuff separating as well. Let's hear from, interestingly, this is going to be night two, Women's Champion Bayley talking about her respect for Rhea after night two of WrestleMania 40.
First, I have so much respect for her because she works her butt off. She does everything. I mean, you guys see Judgment Day on every single show like 10 times throughout the night, and that is not easy and sometimes not always fun. It's very hard. So I have all the respect for the work she does. Plus, she puts on incredible matches. She'll be like, she's so young, so athletic. She does one drop kick and I can't do a drop kick to someone's knees, you know? It's like everything she does makes me mad. But I feel if as the time comes for the four horsewomen to lift the division up and get better and better as we wanted to do from the beginning, I'm glad that it's going to someone like Rhea Ripley and it's going to somebody like Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan. There's so many, you got Zoe Starks. There's so many women that are itching to get out there. Candice LeRae is like finally showing her face out there. You got all the girls in NXT, Roxanne Perez, Lyra. This is exactly what we wanted. So if she's ready to take it on, I am very proud and I'm very glad to watch it happen. But let me have my damn moment, Rhea.
Bailey speaking about Rhea, but as she's right, give her her dang moment. And we will do just that coming up shortly as we talk about night two of WrestleMania. We then had the Undisputed Tag Championship ladder match. The two belts went up separately. I think the first thing that absolutely sings to me about this is that I think it's very, very hard to separate titles once you've unified them. You either have to put a single belt and create a new belt like they have now and like they've done in the past when they did it with Jericho, when they did it with Triple H and all those occasions, or you can do something like this. It was utter chaos with six teams in there.
Yeah. You said to me at one point, you said that how many more people this is than TLC back in the day.
Yeah, even when you added in all the interference from TLC back in the day, it was still like four more people on top of that. Yeah. Look, there was some really great nods, and this is one of the things I love about Mania. DIY doing the DX-style entrance. New Day dressed as Rocky and Creed from Rocky IV was absolutely superb. You've got some unbelievable spots. I thought the superstars, actually, of this match were Pete and Tyler. They were the ones who made the whole thing sing and come together and work really well, even though, obviously, didn't come out on top with taking a title away.
Yeah, but you would hope that this sets them up for a decent career and future under Triple H. You know, you have to remember that when NXT UK was a thing, Triple H had two guys that were his main guys to start off with, and that is Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Tyler being the first champion and Pete being the kind of young, cocky upstart, I believe you would call it, that Triple H, you know, was a huge fan of and maybe saw a bit of the rebellious side of himself back in the day. And I think normally you would see them put together. I say normally, I mean traditionally in WWE, you'd see a team like that put together and not win and feel that, oh, okay, they just took part. What does their future hold? And in 6 months' time, are they going to get released? Whereas now I feel like, you know, there's more for them to do. And I think it was also great for R-Truth to get his moment. I feel like there was a lot of moments that people had earned that maybe hadn't got them in the past. And I think that, you know, that was something that was being righted by the new regime. And, you know, for R-Truth to get his moment was great. Nice bit of comedy, always with R-Truth, going for the pin straight away.
The hot tag as well was absolutely unreal. And look, I'm fine. Waller and Theory winning the titles on one side. Winning the SmackDown titles. I'm absolutely fine with that. Good heel faction. There's lots of tag talent there, and they might not hold the belts for long, but, you know, I'm fine with them getting the WrestleMania moment. To have R-Truth be the one who climbs the ladder, who claims the titles in the end, who finally gets a win at WrestleMania after all these years, was a huge, huge moment. And that was a real, real high point for me. I'm just going to rattle through the next three matches, just, you know, not to do any of the people involved down, but, you know, the Andrade, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Santos Escobar match was cool. A decent match. Like, yeah. I'm slightly surprised to see the victory go Rey and Andrade's way. I know they don't want to do Andrade dirty early on, but I thought Dom would get the pickup. We'd have a rubber match next year, maybe.
It did kind of feel the whole sort of process with that felt a bit weird with Dom being involved, because it's kind of like, hang on, you're from the other group and you're kind of joining this. And it's, I don't know, it felt a bit messy. But yeah, that was good. It was entertaining enough.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's all it maybe needed to be. Jimmy and Jay, I sadly just don't think worked. And from my perspective, I don't want to do, again, either of these guys down, but very similar stylistically. The one big spot was the him begging forgiveness spot. That works if you're doing like a working a 30-minute like hardcore, like he's been absolutely destroyed match, but you've super kicked him a couple of times and we're 6 minutes into a match. Why would he suddenly be begging for forgiveness? So I don't think the crowd were over with it at all. And honestly, I think for me, it just took such a backseat to everything else Bloodline related that there was just no need to do it.
I find myself in the lead up and even before the match forgetting that it was on the card.
This could have been like a main event, a Survivor Series or something like that, or even like kind of one of the other major pay-per-views, like a Money in the Bank or something, and it would have really sung, a bit like their tag match did when they went up against Solo and Roman. I just think that it didn't really work in this spot, unfortunately. And then, you know, huge moment as Damage Control took on Bianca, Jade and Naomi. The unbelievable superhero X-Men entrance, because Jade has called herself Storm on a number of occasions, did with us the other day. You know, Bianca as Cyclops, Naomi as Jubilee. And this was all to put Jade over. And I'm fine with it.
Yep.
I don't love the tag title holders losing or Dakota losing so early after coming back. But they had to face somebody of note, and it worked. Let's get on to those last two matches. Gunther against Sami Zayn. Honestly, I know that this will be one of those that people kind of sit just below a classic. For me, this was art. This was wrestling at its at its best when it's not. If you're going to do something incredible with 15 minutes, tell me a great story. If you're not going to give me a sprint. And that's what they did. And I just adored it.
You were popping for it before even the bell was rung, weren't you, with the production side of things. You were loving the Sami Zayn walk to the ring. And when you saw Kevin Owens there, I thought you were going to explode with love.
It was that, and that comes back to what we were saying previously with Triple H, that walk to the ring. That, you know, that's been part of what they've been doing a lot more, showing Gorilla and backstage and the bit with his wife and then the bit with Chad. And I'm assuming that'll be set up as some kind of Chad Gable Sammy.
Yeah, we hope so. Again, someone else who deserves to be pushed. 100%.
And look, the Kevin moment, and then for the replay of that moment on night two, I loved it. The Gunther. The fact that it was his, he believed his own hype about how unbeatable he was and had four or five chances to pin Sammy and instead decided to go and shout to his wife and be cocky and go for another finisher. You got the Sammy, the fired up Sammy from, you know, his El Generico days, from his NXT days, coming back similar to what we saw in the main event last year where he managed to pick himself up off the ground, and then for him to do the brain buster onto the turnbuckle, pulling out a move he hasn't done in WWE, not done in probably 12 years. And then the double haluva kicks and finishing it. It was just, I feel like we needed that moment on night one because you were going to have the main event where we kind of knew which way it had to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we needed that high point before we hit the Bloodline stuff.
And the good thing is now is that, as you've already alluded to, Gunther's now going to probably step up to being in the sort of the main title picture, which is exactly what we want. And he's earned it now. And it's just amazing to see where he's come from since the days of us interviewing him upstairs in a venue in London, really, because he looks different. He holds himself differently. He's even better than he was back then.
He's
still a lovely bloke.
He's legitimately a superstar. He's had the best match on WrestleMania back-to-back years.
Yeah.
Like, from a wrestling perspective. I know.
You mean art, don't you?
Yeah, it was art. It was absolute art, and I will keep saying that. The main event, I feel like we can talk more about this with night two and kind of loop them in together. I just think the one thing I want to say is just, if The Rock wasn't already on my Mount Rushmore, and he's always that kind of borderline guy for me with him and Stone Cold, and I feel like he's got a potential with this run. He just looked amazing.
It's so often, isn't it, that someone comes back, Goldberg, for example, and you go, oh, cool, Goldberg. And then you go, Goldberg's quite old now, isn't he?
The Batista Triple H match is always the one I'll cite.
But the thing is with this, and if you know Dwayne, I don't know Dwayne, calling him by his first name, but you know what he's all about. You know that there's no way he was going to come back and be lackluster. You know, he would have had his training tailored for months for this. And that is the thing that not actually a lot of people are talking about, just because of the other high points of this weekend, is that The Rock looked like The Rock. The Rock was doing The Rock moves. There was no like, oh, can The Rock still do this? No, The Rock could still do everything. And he was still this great character. I love the final boss character. I would love to know who came up with that, whether it was him or who was involved in it, because he really is like this kind of unbeatable guy, isn't he? He holds himself as this mountain of a man, you know, and now he's got this sort of, you know, the authority side behind him as well and the shareholder stuff. You know, it's really exciting. And if you were to think about, oh, okay, would him and Roman go against each other as we expect, that would be great.
It was everything that he did, all the nuance outside of the ring. In the ring, he looked great and he took the spear like a champ and he sold brilliantly and the moves looked big. The brawl stuff was great. Like, all of that was great. But it was the reactions to the crowd. It was the reactions to Mama Rhodes. It was that just all of that stuff on the outside, which can contribute more as ring rust. Actually, Triple H talked about it on Saturday night. When you come back for the first time and the adrenaline's that high, just remembering those nuances which help tell the story and make your character feel believable. Absolutely unreal. The Bloodline do go over. I think it was the right decision. It set us up perfectly for night two. And we'll talk about that up next. Meanwhile, Gavin John Jackson on Talk Wrestling here on TalkSport 2. Talk Wrestling on TalkSport 2. That is, of course, the music of the Judgment Day as we move on to night two of WrestleMania 40. And that kicks us off beautifully. Drew McIntyre against Seth Rollins. Now, whoever booked this match looked like they'd essentially watched a Lesnar Goldberg match and gone, do that.
You've got so many problems with this, haven't you?
I don't think, the thing is, I still think it was brilliant because you've got two fantastic workers who sold really well. I just think we need to be protecting finishers better. I had more of a problem with it with the triple threat. Like, I don't need Kevin Owens kicking out of an RKO.
No.
When you've got a third man in the ring who can break up the...
Especially when they say how the most feared, you know, yeah, three letters in WWE and then people are kicking out of it.
Like, that's... But that is a... I had minor gripes with the wrestling that didn't matter to the storytelling for me, yeah, on Sunday night, I think, is the thing. And Rollins looked brilliant in defeat because he still fought back despite the injury he was carrying from night one, clearly the underdog. And I talked in the last section about the way that The Rock was with the way he told his story. Drew has just elevated himself to a whole nother level with this run, this heel run. And similar to Gunther costing himself on night one, for him to be leaving, to come back and get in Punk's face, to rile him up enough for Punk to attack him, I just thought it would told an absolutely brilliant story. And look, it was amazing in stadium. You heard like this weird like triple pop come, right? Because it was like, actually people were really over for Drew and he got You Deserve It chance. And then people were really over for Punk. And then people went wild when Priest came in. And it was that perfect build, John.
When you say people, you mean you, don't you? In the press box. Everyone else in the press box writing their articles and Will's there absolutely loving it. No, it was really good. And also I say about people getting their moments, Drew then, you know, I know it was only for a couple of minutes, he still got his WrestleMania moment having won the title back in COVID and not really had that celebration. So that was really nice. But, you know, I'm actually excited to see what happens next with CM Punk. And, you know, I'm not someone that's ever been a massive fan of CM Punk. I've just, you know, he's been there and maybe I just wasn't so engaged when he was there the first time round and wasn't that bothered. But now I'm really excited to see what happens. And I think we're all interested to see what happens with Damian Priest as well, because he's now been elevated to that, you know, champion level. So will he be up against Finn Balor? Will Finn Balor, you know, go back to being in the sort of main title picture as he was back in the day before that was cut short? There's a lot of people that kind of deserve bigger status who maybe haven't had it for whatever reason. And I feel that we could, you know, Triple H is going to be, Paul Levesque, because it's the Paul Levesque era now. He's going
to
be...
They've got to think of a better era name than that at some point, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I think he's the Paul era. No, he's going to be... I think he's going to be elevating a lot of people, and I think it's going to be just really exciting to see.
The street fight was the street fight. It was fun. Just quickly on the Punk thing, actually. I know I'm very aware of the time left on the show. I differ to you in that I hold up Punk's run in the early 10s as really getting me back into wrestling. I hold him in as higher esteem as humanly possible. I also had no interest in him coming back. There's something about his approach. I don't know if maybe he needed the rough run in AEW that didn't work to then come back to WWE with a brand new attitude and a brand new approach, that he's been fantastic on this run. And even having him come out with Cody at the end of night two, like Punk has really won me over. Now we need to see him come back from injury and have some great matches on top of that.
It's funny as well to have him in the suit in the ring with Cody. You kind of go, oh, that's cool. And then you go, oh, but he's always that, you know, we always know he's that guy that will possibly be. And I'm going to use this term, and I think we can use it on the radio, the turd in the punch bowl.
Look, the street fight was the street fight. It was a lot more fun than I expected it to be because I wasn't over with the storyline.
Yeah, I think bringing out the special guest referee actually made that feel like, oh, okay, there's a point to this.
You bring the what's up headbutt in, you get the tables, the home of ECW, Philadelphia, gets its flowers, fine, I'm good with it. Night and Styles is a funny one because, again, I didn't care hugely going into it. I still think LA Knight needs a better finisher than the BFT, which might be the weakest in all of wrestling at the moment.
Yeah.
And then maybe with more time and a better build, this could have been really great. But you know what? It was a good match. Like, it didn't... on a normal Mania, you'd be like, oh, that was great. Mm. It just paled in comparison to the next three, which I thought were all sensational.
But did it make you want to buy a Slim Jim?
No, it did not. I tried some the other day. I'm sorry. Pepperami, our friends at WWE 2K, we will always give you the love. Yes. Slim Jim, absolutely not. So the last three matches. I don't think anything dropped below like 4.5 stars here. I thought they were all sensational. Starting with that triple threat.
Yeah.
Again, Owens coming out. The way they drove down to the ring, went back and got Randy, that they were paired together at the beginning, and then eventually that the spot. It was very funny. DDP came and sat three seats down from us in the press box during those matches, and he was chatting away and he was telling stories, and people were coming and getting selfies with him, and it was nice to have him there. We know Dallas a little bit; he's a lovely bloke, but he really popped for the. When they agreed to both go after Logan Paul and then Randy tried the RKO Kevin Owens and then kind of did the turnaround, oops, I've been caught face kind of thing. He was like, that's a great spot.
He was.
Great spot.
Throughout that match, he was just saying things like, perfect. And this kid's got great timing. He doesn't sound like Vince that much. But, you know, Logan, he's a big fan of Logan Paul. And for, you know, a wrestler from, you know, a wrestler with huge pedigree and history to be such a fan of Logan Paul, I could overhear him telling someone he couldn't believe how good he is, considering he's only ever had matches on PLEs and barely any, you know, matches on house shows and practice or anything like that. And that is true. Logan Paul's timing, it was fantastic.
There is an argument that Logan Paul, 11 matches into his WWE run, has the highest quality of the first near dozen matches that anyone's ever had in WWE. It's just that it's easier to do that when you're only wrestling once every few months and you can really hone for that match.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see him work TV and and be on regularly and have that kind of contract. So maybe that's something that's coming.
Are you saying he's a future Hall of Famer?
In the future. I suspect he will be because they love putting a celebrity in regardless.
Yeah,
he's already got that status at this point. And then Bayley against Io, which I felt this was harsh putting it on before the main event because it was seen as a cool down. And actually a lot of the crowd did leave and go to the toilet and grab drinks knowing that the main event was the only thing left. And yet the crowd was super over for Bayley from the beginning. This was a proper face turn from her. Almost a shame we got new music for her. Almost a shame we didn't get her old music, to be honest. But the two of them worked a brilliant match that the crowd should have been cold for, and by the end were absolutely nuclear. Mm. And Bayley getting the huge moment. Oh, John, I loved it.
You did love it. You did love it. And Bayley deserves it. And, you know, she's had some very magical moments. I think you were trying to work out, weren't you? Has she won at WrestleMania before?
I was trying to work out if she'd won a title at WrestleMania because she's won WrestleMania title matches where it's been a retention, but I don't think she's had that moment of winning.
No, so she's had that moment now, and I think that, I mean, the damage control story, I wasn't that fussed on at all, so it'd be interesting to see what happens next with Bayley. But, you know, I think she's one of those ones that maybe has lagged behind the Charlotte Flairs, the Becky Lynches. She's not had those moments from back in the day, and yeah, she really, really deserved it. And you know, it was great to see. And again, I keep coming back to it. I'm excited to see what happens next, and that's how you should be left after WrestleMania. We shouldn't have to rely on Monday Night Raw for, oh, there's going to be big returns and stuff. I'm just more interested in knowing, okay, which direction we're going in next. So we're not relying on, you know, that big person coming back and shaking things up. It's already interesting and engaging enough.
And then the main event. Now look.
Can I just point out, Will, we've watched The Rock two nights in a row. That's pretty cool, right?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, okay.
Look, we can talk about the first 20 minutes of that match, and they were very good. Some really great near falls, some genuine great selling points. we always felt like there was nothing going to happen before there were shenanigans, which maybe kind of took away from that a little bit. But
I'm glad they were allowed to go. Exactly. It wasn't just The Rock comes out. Oh, yeah. Everyone give The Rock some love kind of thing.
But then...
chaos.
Jimmy and Jay come out. We end up getting Jay spearing Jimmy through the tables off the ramp. Sensational.
And also great that it was really was a cameo. They went in it too much.
Yeah.
Love that.
Solo comes in. It's exactly what happened last year. Cody's hit two crossroads. He's set up for a third. Solo comes in. Spike then puts, it looks like he's done. Cena comes in, challenges Solo. Great. Then The Rock comes out, challenges Cena, middle of the ring, Rock bottom, Cena's done. And The Rock starts getting involved and you think, who could stop The Rock? Seth Rollins in his Shield gear turns up and you're like, oh, they're going to do it. And then he gets the instant Superman punch, goes down. He tried to bring a chair into the ring and it led to my favorite spot of the whole match.
You love a callback.
So much.
Years later.
The Rock looks like he's going to end the match. The gong goes, Taker in the ring, choke slam from hell, the gong goes again, Taker's gone, Rock's gone. You've only got Roman, Cody and Seth left in the ring. A chair lying between Cody and Seth. Roman could pick up the chair. He could end Cody. He could win this match and walk away undisputed universal, yada, 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 yada. But he couldn't resist. 10 years on from when Seth turned on Roman, almost, I mean, practically to the day, 10 years on, he took that chair. He put the same shot into Seth. It just gave Cody that time to recover, get to the corner. We get the triple crossroads. We get the 1-2-3, and we get a magical moment at the end. And it's really what WrestleMania should be all about. And it was just incredible.
Yeah, it was chaotic. And actually, at one point, I was thinking, hang on a minute. Are we having that situation where there's too many people coming out here? But as you've just eloquently explained, the way in which they all came out, the way in which they took each other out, The Rock and Cena staring each other down once again. The Undertaker, where we expected Stone Cold Steve Austin, but, you know, I've seen other people suggesting that there's probably a suggestion that the Stone Cold and The Rock could, in theory, have another match together. That could, in theory, be the end of this run for The Rock, depending on how long it goes, because Steve can still go, kind of, if you tailor a match towards him. And we know The Rock can still go. So there's no need to bring Stone Cold out. Quite a lot of blokes old enough to know better wearing their Stone Cold waistcoats in freezing cold conditions. They looked a bit stupid after that. But it was good to see The Undertaker. It was good that The Undertaker came out just as Paul. Not Paul, Mark. I'm really good with the real names, aren't I? But he just came out kind of as Mark Undertaker, as opposed to wearing all the gear.
Yeah.
I like that. It was funny watching The Undertaker actually do his disappearing act because we saw that when The Undertaker disappears, just to let you into a bit of secret here, I'll just break the fourth wall, he doesn't actually disappear. He actually just runs out of the ring and runs out the arena. But it's quite a big stadium for him to run out of.
Yeah, it was funny watching him just with 8 security around him going out the entrance directly below us. But look, well done, WWE. Well done, Triple H. I now can't wait for Monday Night Raw. I think this is the best WWE has been for years as a consistent product, and I'm really excited for what comes next. So look, we love the whole wrestling landscape. We love to see what they're doing in all the other promotions, but right now, WWE is back to being the king, and I'm so excited to see what all these new champions, Cody, Damian, Bayley, Sami Zayn, they all do. The split tag titles, who faces Rhea next, all of it gets me going. So yeah, fantastic work and a great weekend. Thank you to our friends at WWE 2K for that as well. 2K24 is out now and they have been so brilliant with us all weekend, helping us get interviews, etc. There's loads of great content at talksport.com/WWE, so go there and check out the fine writing from the guys on the website, and we'll be back with more in the not too distant future. Thank you for listening. This has been Talk Wrestling on TalkSport 2.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.